This is the Winchester Talking Newspaper for the week ending the 16th of September 2022. Hello and welcome to the Winchester Talking Newspaper with extracts from the Hampshire Chronicle dated the 15th of September 2022. This past week has been a momentous one in the life of our nation, both sombre and uplifting, as we remembered and honoured the life of our late Queen. One of our readers today, Jane Rutter, is a city councillor and was Mayor of Winchester between 2016 and 2017. She is now going to say a few words in tribute.
When you've had the privilege of being the Mayor of Winchester, people expect you to have met the Queen. Sadly, I never did, although I had two near misses. I sing with the Wainfleet Singers, and in the Queen's Golden Jubilee year, we were invited to sing for the Queen outside Buckingham Palace. But I couldn't go. I can't remember why now, but I do remember my bitter disappointment. The second near miss was the occasion of Her Majesty's most recent visit to Winchester in 2005. I didn't get to meet her then, but our daughter Katie did. She was a member of the Cathedral Girls Choir, who sang for the Queen and spoke to her afterwards. I finally got within arm's reach of the Queen in 2016, when I became mayor and was invited to a royal garden party. We were privileged to see the Queen and the rest of the royal family walk past. Not to speak to her, but close enough to almost touch. A tiny, regal figure with her very own aura about her. We've been privileged to have Elizabeth as our Queen for the past 70 years. For most of us, the only monarch we've ever known. She's been a steadfast rock on which our nation has stood, calm above the waves, distant yet familiar, a model of duty and constancy. I will join much of the country on Monday to see her funeral on TV and to witness her final journey back to Windsor. If I could speak to her now, I might say, "Thank you, Mum, for the years of service and dedication to your people. Now rest in peace."
Thank you, Jane. Our other reader today is John Richards, and I'm your presenter, John Parker. The news this week has been dominated by the news of the Queen's passing, and our first three excerpts reflect this. Cathedral at the centre of a city in mourning. Thousands of mourners have visited Winchester Cathedral every day since the announcement of the death of Her Majesty the Queen to pray, reflect, pause, share thoughts and memories, and sign the books of condolences. The Great West doors have been opened through the days to welcome people, and the Cathedral has lifted all admission charges during this period of national mourning. Queues have formed to sign the books of condolences, and as various books have been placed in locations across the building, the waiting time has been minimal. Special prayer cards have also been made available to all visitors who have expressed deep gratitude at the initiative. A special wreath-laying ceremony was held on Friday lunchtime, and the cathedral was full on Sunday morning for a special Eucharist service, with hundreds also gathering outside in the outer close, listening on loudspeakers. The Dean of Winchester, the Very Reverend Catherine Ogle, in her sermon on Sunday said, "We are marking the end of an era, the second Elizabethan era." She described how for many of us this is deeply personal, perhaps surprisingly personal. Perhaps you found yourself crying in the last few days and wondering why it has affected us. When we sang "God Save the King," I found it very emotional and had tears in my eyes. And this loss resonates for many of us, with other deaths, other losses, deeply felt. Dean Catherine emphasised how the Queen's deep vow to public service and duty exemplified the key Benedictine virtue, that of stability. The Queen, she said, showed us love through faithfulness, stability, and through service. I hold on to this, which I've often said at funerals. Love doesn't end in dying or leave with the last breath, for someone we've loved deeply, love doesn't end in death. Queen Elizabeth's shining example of love, shown daily in faithfulness, service, humility, and joy, will live on in Charles, in his family, in all those who are influenced by her, and I hope in each of us.
United in grief. MPs and councillors in Winchester paid tribute to the Queen after her death on September the 8th. Flick Drummond, MP for Meon Valley, said, "The loss of our respected, globally admired and much loved Queen is a huge blow to the country and Commonwealth. My thoughts are with Her Majesty's family at this difficult time." The Queen's 7 decades of tireless service may never be repeated. So many of us know of no other monarch, and I know people across Meon Valley will be upset and grieving. In a post on Twitter, Winchester MP Steve Brine said, "The sense of loss for our great country and the Commonwealth is hard to calculate right now. This is a moment when everything and everyone stops. Thank you, Queen Elizabeth II. God save the King." Councillor Martin Todd, leader of Winchester City Council, said, "We are deeply saddened by the death of Her Majesty the Queen. As the UK's longest-serving monarch, Her Majesty has remained an influential figure throughout the 70-year reign and will be greatly missed. On behalf of everyone in our district, we would like to take this opportunity to offer our condolences to the royal family." Councillor John Tippett Cooper said, "For generations, the Queen has been an astonishing embodiment of calm, compassion and consistency, despite the volatility of British and global events over the last 70 years. Councillor Malcolm Wallace, Green councillor, said, "The Queen has been a constant in our lives for more than 70 years. She has inspired people with her selfless devotion and performed her duties with honour. The strength and dignity that she displayed throughout her reign made all of us proud. We are lucky to have had her as our monarch, and she will be greatly missed." Councillor Jackie Porter said, "My thoughts go to her family, to whom she was not only a stateswoman, but mother, grandmother, great-grandmother, and to her staff who have served her for so long. As we go into mourning for a great lady, we must remember that wonderful smiling image of her this week, smiling out on the camera." County Councillor Leader Councillor Rob Humby said, "The council extends our deepest sympathies to the royal family following the news of the death of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth, our longest serving reigning monarch and beloved queen. Over the years, our county has had the honour and privilege of welcoming Her Majesty on many visits, and we now remember with warmth and fondness these treasured memories."
City welcomes King Charles III. Hundreds gathered at Winchester Guildhall and the Great Hall to welcome in the new head of state, King Charles III. Winchester High Street saw a spectacular turnout as residents and visitors paid their respects to the new monarch last Sunday, September the 11th. The proclamation ceremony started with a speech from the Lord Lieutenant of Hampshire, Nigel Atkinson, and then the Mayor of Winchester, Councillor Derek Green, led the proclamation, followed by singing of the national anthem. Councillor Green said, "With humble affection, by home king and queens to reign, to bless His Majesty with long and happy years to reign over us, given at St James's Palace this 10th day of September in the year of our Lord 2022. Please now join me on this joyous occasion as we send our very best wishes to our King." Lord Lieutenant of Hampshire, Nigel Atkinson, said, "We acknowledge and are grateful for Her Majesty's influence in so many aspects of our lives and for the selfless example of duty and service she set for every one of us. It will be my privilege to represent the whole of our community at the state funeral as we give thanks for her life. All members of the royal family are in our thoughts at this very sad time.
We continue with the death announcements in the Hampshire Chronicle. Blatch, Sheila Zoe Blatch, at signature at Bassett Care Home on the 30th of August, aged 97. Borcherson, Jean Winifred Borcherson, at signature of Winchester on the 24th of August, aged 92. Collinson, Derek, known as Codge Collinson, in Winchester on the 5th of September, aged 89. Cooper, Lawrence Patrick Cooper, on the 2nd of September at Winchester Hospice, aged 86. Cramp, Professor Derek George Cramp, no date is given for his death. Cutts, Gloria Marjorie Cutts, née Byam, at home on the 30th of August, aged 85. Spender, Dr. Barbara Spender, at the Countess of Brecknock Hospice on the 2nd of September, aged 68. Taylor, Barbara Dulcie Taylor, on the 27th of July. Christian comment this week is from the Reverend James Wymark, who is the curate at Christ Church Winchester, and is entitled Ponderings of a Priest, Part 3. The physicist Stephen Hawking once said that intelligence is the ability to adapt to change. Perhaps he was part prophet, as it would be fair to say that today we live in times that are changing at an often alarming rate. What began once upon a time with the then distant prospect of different coloured passport covers alongside the usual political reshuffle every 4 years or so has seemingly hurtled into a daily guessing game of wondering which presidential scandal, outrageous price hike or jaw-dropping political bombshell will hit us next. I wouldn't be in the least surprised if the BBC announced that the cast of this year's Strictly will now all be in the Australian outback, tasked with baking a cake while doing the cha-cha-cha. We all respond differently to the changes that inevitably come our way, and some of us will clearly feel more intelligent than others as a result. Our personalities, life experiences and relationships, both past and present, help to cultivate our sense of resilience, but also the hope we have that things will change for the better. There's one more thing I would suggest that not only impacts but completely transforms how we approach and deal with change. If you, dear reader, have come across previous priestly ponderings in these articles, then you will know that I'm talking about the faith in the person of Jesus Christ. We can look deep within ourselves to feel stronger and do better, but often reach our limit fairly fast, perhaps in these days more than ever. Time and the toll of ever-changing circumstances weigh us down. We need, though, to look up and out, not down and within. We need to know that it is not about us, but about Jesus. Jesus was all too aware that those around him needed to understand life was going to change fast. He would go from hero to zero in no more than 7 days, hailed as a king, but executed by the Roman authorities. His followers would be left feeling desperately vulnerable, but Jesus himself was not vulnerable and didn't want us to be worried about the future. Death was not the end. The Bible drives home the point that it doesn't matter who, how intelligent or how resilient you are, peace and fullness of life are yours, forever. Your circumstances may not always change, but how you perceive them will. Questions will linger, and there will still be seasons of heartache and pain, but you'll know rest and peace despite them. The solution is Jesus. We can bring everything to him in prayer, all of our highs, hurts and hangovers, and then a miracle happens. We will know peace and a sense of perspective like never before. This is not a time to retreat, but a time to acknowledge these days are hard and we often feel out of our depth. God, however, is at no time taken by surprise and loves you tirelessly. That never changes. And that was by the Reverend James Wymark, curate at Christ Church in Winchester. Next, we have the letters to the editor of the Hampshire Chronicle. If you yourself would like to send a letter to the Hampshire Chronicle, you can do so by either telephoning 01962 860 836, that's 01962 860 836, emailing letters@hampshirechronicle.co.uk, that's letters@hampshirechronicle.co.uk, or writing to the editor at 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, SO23 8AL. That's 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, SO23 8AL. Relate letters today. The first three, not unexpectedly, relate to the passing of the Queen.
And the first one, which is entitled Kind Queen, is from Paul Hickey. Current generations and future generations, for thousands of years into the future, will be able to see what a great kind queen Queen Elizabeth II was, because she is on film and video. What a great kind person she was. UK citizens, whenever you feel down because you miss Queen Elizabeth, watch some of the films and videos of her to see the great kind Queen Elizabeth again. The TV channels must show lots of documentary series about Queen Elizabeth, for example, her life story. Also, of course, there is the internet, where people can watch thousands of films and videos about the Queen. Queen Elizabeth will live on forever. She was a great, kind Queen and a great, kind person. That letter's from Paul Hickey, Parchment Street, Winchester.
This next letter is from Mark Rowe and it's entitled Nation's Loss. Her Majesty visited Hampshire many times in many ways. I was blessed to have many letters from Her Majesty as I wrote to her about many subjects. Her Majesty even wrote to me about the loss of my late father. I've just finished a letter to His Majesty. I have included with deepest sympathy for your loss from my family, which includes the people of Solent Sports and Winchester, in regards to your mum, our Queen, who will always be in our hearts. May she rest in peace. May Your Majesty, like your mum, reign long and true. We shall pray for you and your family, Your Majesty. And that's from your loyal subject, Mark Rowe, Taplings Close, Week in Winchester.
Simon Lever writes a letter, City Tribute. As the former capital of England, key element of royal heritage and church, residents of Winchester and beyond will expect the city to acknowledge the sadness of the passing of Queen Elizabeth II and recognise a new era of King Charles III. And that was from Simon Lever, Juniper Close, Badger Farm, Winchester.
The next letter is entitled Sweetest Thing and it's from Karen Barrett. Joanna Lewis's reference to love is the sweetest thing, being played at Ron Allison's memorial service and subsequently at her father's funeral as By Peter Skellen is slightly misleading. That was in an article in the Chronicle September the 8th. His is only one of many versions, but the original of this 1930s Ray Noble classic is the one the band leader himself recorded with the great Al Boley as vocalist. We played it at my younger brother's funeral 5 years ago, and it still gets me every time I hear it. That letter was from Karen Barrett, Byron Avenue, Full Flood, Winchester.
And the next letter is from Jane Hoff, and it's entitled Bad Behaviour. I was very sorry to read about the dangerous cyclist in the Chronicle, letters August the 25th. I am sorry that the bad behaviour of a minority of cyclists leads some people to believe that anyone on a bike is a danger. Motorists may forget that a minority of their number, much greater, also endanger other road users. I have 3 times been knocked off my bike by cars coming out from a junction without checking at their stop line and without stopping, not to mention the many times I've managed to take avoiding action. I've also often been the subject of rude comments, deliberate intimidation, and once actual attack when some lad reached out of a car window and hit me over the head with a rolled newspaper. Thank you to the majority of car drivers who do pass bikes with care and respect. And that's from Jane Hoff from Ruffield Close in Week, Winchester.
Judith Martin writes about market woes. Does Winchester City Council really understand the farmers' market at all? It is the greenest possible way of supporting local producers and providing high quality, decently priced food and drink. Yet they are treated like some afterthought. On Sunday, September the 11th, the market was cancelled because of an event at the Guildhall to do with the new King's Proclamation. The stallholders were informed on Friday, and one tells me Facebook is full of traders trying to sell perishable goods off cheap. The market, which moves up and down the high street with little cohesion, was to have been cancelled for a forthcoming cycle race, but the stallholders rebelled and were able to operate instead in the Middlebrook Street car park, which is where it all began back in the days of a really flourishing market. Why couldn't they have been in the car park? It can't seriously be deference, because the official government guidance following the death of the Queen says there is no obligation to cancel or postpone events and sporting fixtures or close entertainment venues during the national mourning period. This is at the discretion of individual organisations. As a mark of respect, organisations might wish to consider cancelling or postponing events or closing venues on the day of the state funeral. They are under no obligation to do this, and this is entirely at the discretion of the individual organisations. I received this information via the Heritage Alliance last Friday. I can't believe the councils hadn't received it. On a slightly different tack, the Theatre Royal cancelled the Friday performance, but the Southampton theatres remained open. This is no time to inflict economic or any other sort of damage on communities. And that letter was from Judith Martin, Romsey Road, Winchester.
Mrs. P. Dollery writes about parking misery. Has the Winchester City Council gone into recession? I ask this because it's very difficult to get any complaint resolved, especially if you are a leaseholder. The first thing they ask when you eventually speak to anyone is, are you a leaseholder? You are told to stop moaning. Fact is, you are stating facts. The council eventually take your complaint, but never follow it up. You are passed from one department to another, and the person reluctantly takes notes and states it will be passed to the right department. People living at the flats at Winnell are on a building site, and no plans were made for any kind of parking before the building started. Because of this failure, the council eventually allocated 5 disabled bays at the front of Braxton House and put up 2 signs, which were ripped down and replaced by the council until the 3rd time, so now there is no definition for disabled parking. Painting the disabled sign would have been more appropriate. People can't tear painting down. The consequence of no signs is that you can't go out for fear of having no space when you return. Surely there is a councillor out there that can assist in this problem with the council to help disabled people park. These buildings are going on for at least another 18 months, making life a misery for the disabled. May I remind the council that although we are leaseholders, the Winchester City Council is our landlord and we are entitled to be treated as well as council tenants. We pay enough, if not more, for the privilege. That letter is from Mrs. P. Dollery, Winnall Manor Road, Winnall, Winchester.
This final letter is from Nick Ray and it's about police priorities. Hampshire Police and Crime Commissioner Donna Jones claims on the HPPC website, "I am committed to increasing the number of police on our streets and increasing police visibility in order to reduce crime." Yet Hampshire rates second from bottom in terms of officers per head of population out of 42 UK national police forces, according to latest Home Office figures. This during a period of government that has seen 20,000 police officers nationally axed, and only about half of this number currently restored with new, less experienced officers, often without access to local police stations, which have also been sold off under 12 years of Conservative government, policies supported by Winchester MP Steve Brine. Meanwhile, urban crimes in Hampshire, including burglary, car theft and violence, are on the rise, while rural crime from machinery and fuel theft through to fly tipping are also on the up. Yet Hampshire's PCC recently found time in her presumably busy diary to appear on August the 24th on far-right channel GB News. During this broadcast, Jones made a number of totally unsubstantiated and populist statements on national issues. Would it not be wiser and better for Jones to focus on policing and crime local to Hampshire, given that's why she draws a salary of £85,000 per annum, plus any GB News fees? Jones will remain in her position until the next commissioner elections in 2025, having by then drawn a salary of a third of £1 million, plus pension. Incentive enough, surely, to eschew the spotlight or pontificate on national issues? And that's from Nick Ray, Fordington Avenue, Full Flood in Winchester.
The Hampshire Chronicle editorial comment is titled, "Our Beloved Queen, Rock of the Nation." What can the Hampshire Chronicle say about the death of the Queen that has not been said 1,000 times in the last 7 days? Very little, but there is no reason not to say what we think. For more than 70 years, she served with dignity, grace, humour, kindness and decency. She was a rock amid the swirling changes of the last 70 years. Back in the 1950s, the Times wrote that Queen Elizabeth II would need steadiness, staying power and self-sacrifice. Well, she certainly delivered on all of those and more. But now she has gone, as we all knew she would, but we all somehow always willfully ignored that thought. The permanence that she represented has gone, and we must get used to a world without her. Seamlessly, her son Charles has taken the crown, and the nation has been heartened by the ease with which he assumed the role after a lifetime of preparation. With the funeral this Monday, the feeling of emptiness will be around for a while yet, but it will recede over time. And now, first person.
And first person this week is written by Khalid Aziz. It was a shock. Your head told you the death of someone on the final straight towards achieving centenarian status would not be surprising. Your heart, when the news came at 6:30 last Thursday, simply broke. Many fought back tears. I suspect most, certainly me, failed to do so. Her late Majesty, Queen Elizabeth II, has been the only monarch most of us have known. She was quite simply the mother of our nation. I loved her wicked wit, Visiting the stock exchange after the 2008 financial crash, she was heard to inquire, "Did no one see this coming?" A delicious moment watching financial masters of the universe squirm as answer came there none. I was privileged to meet the Queen several times. The Memorial Gates Trust raised money to construct the four pillars at the top of Constitution Hill, near Hyde Park Corner. They commemorate the sacrifice in two world wars of the volunteer soldiers from the Indian subcontinent, Africa, and the Caribbean. As a trustee, I was deputed to look after Her Majesty when she laid the foundation stone. We had been warned by her officials that this would be the only involvement the Queen would have with our project, and we were rather frostily told not to try to raise with her the issue of her opening the gates on their completion. I swear she must have got wind of this rather dog-in-the-manger attitude, as within earshot of a hovering stuffed shirt, she turned to me, having laid the stone, and said with a twinkle, "I hope you are going to ask me to perform the official opening." And so she did, her short journey up from Buckingham Palace, flanked by outriders from the Pakistan cavalry, resplendent in ceremonial turbans, their lances glinting in the sunshine. And now we have a new king. In Hampshire, our Lord Lieutenant presided over the proclamation in Winchester on Sunday. His deputy lieutenants followed suit in the various county towns. King Charles's first broadcast as monarch, less than 24 hours after the announcement of the Queen's death, was a tour de force. Such a fitting tribute to his mother, compassion for Harry and Meghan, and praise for William and Catherine as the new Prince and Princess of Wales. And then, that quote from Hamlet, "May flights of angels sing thee to thy rest." Fighting back the tears was useless. Once more they rolled. Those of us who have been privileged to volunteer for the Prince's charities have seen him close up. We know he's a thoughtful man, a man who really cares. His style is not stuffy. His walkabout on returning from Balmoral to Buckingham Palace showed a common touch he's honed over a lifetime. Like his mother, he can be great fun. Like her, he is adept at putting you at your ease. The Queen is undoubtedly a hard act to follow, but King Charles is more than suited so to do. Monday will be a sombre day. The Queen's body, borne on a gun carriage through the streets of London, will eventually reach its final resting place in Windsor, next to her beloved husband, Prince Philip. It's 70 years since we said goodbye to a monarch. There will inevitably be more tears. And why not? As a people, we have suffered a great loss. However, the beauty of our constitutional system is that it ensures continuity. Things move on inexorably. Once the period of mourning is over, we will have a new beginning with a new king. Our country is undoubtedly in troubled waters, but we are a resilient people, and we've been in worse places. King Charles III will see us through. It has been his destiny. He has the capability, the compassion, and to borrow the word he used 7 times during his address, the love. God save the King.
Now to the week's announcements. I realise this information may not reach you in time, only if your memory stick is delivered on Saturday and you listen to it that day. But there will be a service of commemoration in the Cathedral on Saturday, the 17th of September at 6 p.m. Everyone is invited to this service, honouring the Queen's memory and giving thanks to God for her life. Other than invited representatives of organisations and patronages, this is a public and open, non-ticketed service with the doors open for seating at 4:30 p.m. Then on Monday September the 19th, the state funeral will take place at 11 a.m. This televised service will be available to watch on large screens inside the cathedral. You are warmly welcome to join with others to watch the funeral. Doors will open at 9 a.m. to allow ample time for seating arrangements. You're welcome to attend for the whole duration of the funeral coverage. The broadcast begins at 9 a.m. or for as long as you wish. The day will end with a closing act of remembrance at 7:30 p.m. in the cathedral. And again, all are welcome to attend this. Today, sunrise was at 6:40 in the morning and sunset will be at 7:20 in the evening. We now move on to further items of news.
And the first item is fireworks organisers cut prices. The group responsible for putting on Winchester's famous annual firework display and bonfire has decided to slash ticket prices in the face of rising living costs. Winchester Roundtable said it hopes the move will help give families and friends a night to remember amid the challenges of the current economic climate. Tickets for the event, which is taking place on Saturday, November the 5th at North Walls Recreation Ground, have been temporarily reduced to just £6 per person for the coming weeks. This means a family of four will save £24 on their booking compared to buying tickets on the night of the event. Groups and families have been invited to book now to take advantage of the discounted price, which only applies for tickets bought in September. The impressive city centre display is well loved by locals and visitors alike and was hugely missed in the previous years due to COVID restrictions. The event will also see the return of the popular torchlight procession through the High Street before the bonfire is lit and the display begins. Winchester Roundtable's bonfire chairman, Alex Reeves, said, "We're all so excited to put on a firework display the way it used to be before the pandemic, with a return to the ticketing system to help us raise thousands of pounds for local good causes. We know times have been tough for many families recently, and we want to make sure everyone can enjoy our famous bonfire and fireworks, so we've taken the step to making tickets as affordable as possible for those who book early. The £6 ticket offer is only available for bookings made in September. In October, tickets will cost £8 and then £10 in November. Bookings for the special rate tickets, which include free delivery, can be made at winchester-bonfire.co.uk. Winchester Roundtable is a social club and charitable group for men aged 18 to 45 and has been running the Winchester Charity Fireworks since 1958, alongside the annual Santa Sleigh Tour of the city. It is part of the UK-wide and international roundtable movement.
Tributes paid to festival director. A BBC senior producer who brought actress Dame Judi Dench to Winchester has died at the age of 85. Long-serving director of the Winchester Festival, John Miller had a lengthy career starting out as a trainee with the BBC after studying politics at university in Nottingham. He then became a producer in schools TV before being seconded to UNESCO to create the Broadcasting Training Institute in Kuala Lumpur, where he returned to the BBC Open University as a senior producer. John had been a guest interview at the National Theatre and for many literary festivals and was a regular contributor to the Cheltenham Festival. His address book was a veritable who's who of the literary world, stage and screen, and he brought many of those friends to festivals in the south of England. He was artistic director of the Winchester Festival from 1998 to 2011. His many books have included authorised biographies of Ralph Richardson, Peter Ustinov, and no less than four books with Dame Judi Dench. He collaborated with John Gielgud on his memoirs for radio, TV and two subsequent books, and he was BAFTA nominated for the Hugh Weldon Award for the Best Arts Programme of 1988 for An Actor's Life, John's TV profile of the great man. He also collaborated with John Mills on his updated autobiography, Up in the Clouds, Gentlemen, Please. For the Millennium celebrations, John wrote and produced Men in Scarlet, a Sonny Lumiere, a history of the Chelsea pensioners staged at the Royal Hospital, Chelsea. In 2016, John masterminded the Alsford Historical and Literary Society's golden annual anniversary, bringing John Julius Norwich, Robert Hardy and Edna O'Brien to the town. A great supporter of local charities, John had brought special guests to events to raise funds for both Bishop Sutton and Ropley churches, and he brought Dame Judy Dench to Winchester on four occasions, twice to raise funds for the Homestart Winchester, most recently in October 2021. John lived in Bishop Sutton for 40 years and is survived by his wife Aileen. A date for the funeral service has yet to be announced.
City near top in tourist poll. Winchester has been named one of the best for a city staycation, beating the likes of Oxford, Harrogate and Chester. The former capital of England came joint second with Kent's Canterbury, narrowly beaten by Cambridge in new research completed by Which magazine. Winchester was lined up against other similarly sized cities to discover what kind of mini break it can offer. Which asked more than 3,600 people to rate more than 50 destinations within the UK across multiple categories, with Winchester scoring 78%. The city's accommodation and cultural sites were awarded 4 out of 5 stars by the consumer company, as well as 3 stars for food and drink and shopping. Winchester was also rated for its lack of crowds, value for money and getting around. The city is home to a broad selection of high quality restaurants, shops, accommodation and its cathedral. A nature reserve and historical sites of the Great Hall, which is the home of King Arthur's Round Table, the West Gate and Winchester City Mill make for an attractive package. And events and exhibitions, such as the recent Hares of Hampshire Trail, the annual festival lineup, the renowned cathedral, Christmas market, all contribute to Winchester's tourist appeal. Councillor Lucille Thompson, Cabinet Member for Business and Culture, said, "A strong visitor economy remains pivotal to the overall economic well-being of the district, and these findings, along with our current data, underpin this."
Commonwealth legacy in city. The legacy of the Commonwealth Games will live on in Winchester thanks to a new initiative aimed at keeping kids active. Birmingham 2022 proved a huge success for the nation and delivered countless moments of inspiration with a record-breaking medal tally. England's efforts were particularly fruitful in squash. Gina Kennedy won the nation's first ever gold medal in the women's squash singles. Many other medals were won by the England squash team, including gold and silver in the men's doubles, as it came down to an epic All-England final. The squad also claimed silver in the women's doubles and bronze in the women's singles. Since the games concluded, England squash, has been working hard, it seems weird, to ensure it maintains that momentum and is encouraging younger people up and down the country to try the sport through its programme called Squash Stars. The 6-week programme, delivered by participating clubs and venues from September, will introduce children aged 5 to 11 to the game of squash. A host of squash clubs up and down the country have signed up to the initiative and will be delivering sessions in Hampshire. Among those is Winchester Sport and Leisure Park, which welcomed the Queen's Baton Relay in preparation for the games. Squash Stars will help children learn fundamental skills to play squash and develop hand-eye coordination, racket work, movement and match play through action-packed fun games and drills delivered by specially trained leaders. England squash player Gina Kennedy, who won the 2022 women's singles event at the Commonwealth Games, said, Squash has had an amazing impact on my life, and it's so important that we give young people the same experience. I really hope that these 5 to 11-year-olds that take part in Squash Stars really enjoy not just playing squash, but developing a passion for sport in the process. The Commonwealth Games has served as a great source of inspiration, and I hope Squash Stars can continue this legacy. All Squash Stars will receive 6 group coaching sessions and a free racket, a ball, bag and goggles to help them get in the game.
Event postponed. Civic chiefs have postponed a public consultation event over the multi-million pound station approach development to have been held in Winchester on Thursday. The event at the railway station has been cancelled as a mark of respect during the period of national mourning. It has been rescheduled for Wednesday, September the 28th from 2 to 7pm outside the main entrance to Winchester Station. The event planned for Saturday, September the 24th from 10pm, 10am to 2pm at a stall in the market in the High Street is unaffected.
Winchester in mourning. Memories of much-loved monarch. The Queen visited Winchester on a number of occasions during her lifetime. Some excellent photos from the Hampshire Chronicle and Daily Echo archives show the Queen on visits to Winchester, meeting officials and members of the public. The earliest photo is from 1955 at the Winchester Guildhall, giving an address just 3 years after becoming Queen. The Queen also visited Winchester Cathedral for the Maundy service in 1979. More recently, the Queen delighted crowds in 2003, where the photos show her chatting to children and receiving flowers. And the latest photos are from 2005, when the Queen visited St Cross for the King's Royal Rifle Corps 250th celebrations. And this piece is accompanied by lots of wonderful photographs, some colour, some black and white, the older ones, of course. And the thing that strikes me when I look at all these photographs is, of course, the Queen has her wonderful smile, for which she was much renowned in all the photographs. But what also impresses me is all the people who are speaking to her or watching her or paying attention to her, whether they're children or more mature people, they are all smiling too.
Public art put on hold after Queen's death. The launch of a 6-foot public art installation outside Winchester Cathedral has been postponed in the wake of Her Majesty the Queen's death. The installation, a sand timer that revolves every 40 seconds, reflecting global statistics that every 40 seconds someone ends their life by suicide, was due to be unveiled last Friday, September the 9th, to mark Suicide Awareness Day. However, organisers have decided to delay the launch while the city mourns the passing of the Queen. The structure was in place outside the cathedral last Thursday evening, but Reverend Dr. Tess Cuin Lawton, Canon Missioner at Winchester Cathedral, confirmed it was then removed. The cathedral has said it will confirm a new date for the display over the coming days. As part of the moving sculpture, a counter will mark every revolution to reflect just how many lives this represents. Within the sand timer, there are 161 balls, 113 orange-coloured balls for boys, and 48 purple-coloured balls for girls. These represent the 161 children and adolescents under the age of 19 years who ended their life by suicide in 2020 in England. The project has been jointly funded by Sussex Partnership's official charity, Heads On, and Ringwood Round Table. Helen Dove, Innovation and Participation Lead at Hampshire CAMHS, said, "Public art is a very powerful way of getting important messages out. No message can be more important than raising awareness about suicide. We want to draw attention whilst encouraging kindness and compassion and providing information about where people can seek help." She added, While this event raises awareness of suicide and will hopefully encourage people to have that first conversation, it is also important to consider those who might be impacted. A variety of support and signposting will be on offer at the Sand Timer installation for anyone in crisis and or coping with the aftermath of suicide.
Bell ringers marked sad moment in history. It fell to a group of 10 bell ringers to carry out an age-old tradition when the monarch dies. The bells of Winchester Cathedral pealed out over the city on Saturday at 11 a.m. precisely to coincide with the proclamation at St James's Palace in London of the accession of King Charles III. The mood was considerably more sombre as the bells were rung for service the following morning. By convention, during the period of mourning following the passing of a monarch, the bells are rung with the clappers fully muffled, apart from that of the tenor bell, muffled on one side only, to sound a periodic striking of an open note, recalling the tolling which took place on Friday at noon.
Parish welcomes Polish minister as new rector. There was a special day of celebration for the parish of St Faith when Reverend Dominic Chmielewski was instituted as rector by the Right Reverend David Williams, Bishop of Basingstoke. The special service took place at the church at St Cross, where the parish has worshipped for the last 500 years. It was attended by nearly 200 of Dominic's friends and colleagues from his old parishes in Arundel and Middleton-on-Sea, as well as members of the parish of St Faith. Reverend Dominic Chmielewski was born and raised in Poland, where for over 6 years he cared for an Anglican congregation in Krakow. He later trained for ordination at Ripon College, Cuddeston, near Oxford, and also obtained a master's degree in theology from Durham University. Prior to ordination training, he was a stained glass artist and an iconographer. He now continues his artistic interests in the area of liturgical textiles and embroidery. He is married to Barbara and has 3 children.
Hair send-off put on hold. While many shops and businesses have remained open, a final send-off for a landmark street exhibition has been postponed due to the Queen's death. The Hares of Hampshire Art Trail, which took over the streets of Winchester and Southampton for 10 weeks of the summer, came to a close at the end of August. Event organisers had been preparing for the display's final farewell event, set to take place in Winchester's Great Hall from last Friday, September the 9th, to Sunday, September the 11th. However, on the morning the closing display was due to start, a post on the Hares of Hampshire Facebook page announced its postponement. The finale was due to feature more than 70 of the individually painted hares together before a grand auction raising funds for the Murray Parish Trust last Sunday evening. Julie Mountain, Hares of Hampshire Trail manager, said, "Hampshire County Council advised that we postpone the farewell event for 2 weeks. They decided it wasn't possible as the area was needed for official events related to the Queen's mourning period. Frustratingly, we'd gone to a lot of trouble to set everything up, but what they're suggesting is that we ran exactly the same event on the same days in 2 weeks' time. We're obviously having to chase sponsors and the auctioneers, and it does rely very heavily on all those people being able to be available in 2 weeks' time. If all goes to plan, the farewell event will resume on Friday, September the 23rd, and conclude with the charity auction the following Tuesday."
Hospice stall big on style. A stall raising funds for Winchester Hospice will be at the Michaelmas Fair on Saturday, September the 24th. The event at the Hospital of St Cross will be held from 10:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. with a £3 entry charge and under 16s free. There will be floral accessories including vases and wrought iron stands. New and nearly new ladies' clothing, some bespoke and designer labels, in pristine condition, sizes 12 to 18 will also be on offer. Other attractions at the event include birds of prey displays, the Madding Crowd singers, and a variety of food and drink stalls. Free parking will be available.
Village church gutted in fire rises from the ashes. A village church gutted by fire in 2016 has been reborn. 8 years after St Peter's Church in Ropley was devastated by a fire, members of the church's community were able to throw open the doors once again. A weekend filled with excitement and celebration followed with over 200 people attending an opening ceremony. The ceremony also included a plaque unveiling and reception, which was observed by representatives of the Lord Lieutenant of Hampshire, the Diocese of Winchester, East Hampshire District Council, and Hampshire and Isle of Wight Fire and Rescue Service. The opening service was led by the Right Reverend David Williams, Bishop of Basingstoke, preaching and presiding. A spokesperson for the church said, "The sheer joy and wonder on the faces of so many as they walked through the door for the first time was testament to the incredible vision of the architect responsible for the reconstruction. John Alexander and the craftsmanship and skill of the lead contractors reside construction. In the opening weekend alone, the building has already demonstrated its flexibility. It has been made into an incredible venue for worship, music, children's activities and the opening party. The community are looking forward to seeing what the future holds as they grow into this unique space." And there are some photographs of this gorgeous looking church now. There's an interior one of St Peter's in Ropley. It looks absolutely beautiful. And then, of course, inevitably, there is Bishop David, who has just opened a plaque with the Reverend Claire Wellham and the Deputy Lord Lieutenant. And a nice touch is that on this open day, the Hampshire and Isle of Wight Fire and Rescue Service were present.
Long-awaited village shop opening shelved. The long-awaited opening of a village store was postponed in the wake of Her Majesty the Queen's death. Mitchell Dever residents were due to gather last Saturday, September the 10th, to witness Councillor Patrick Cunningham and Steve Brine MP cut the ribbon for the new retail outlet. Local people have been hoping for a new general store since the last shop closed in 2016. Originally, the plan for the shop was for it to be a community-led effort. However, Raji Sangrula, who already owns Nepalese grocery store Nirmala Foods in City Road, Winchester, stepped forward to buy the premises from Trinity Road in February last year. After hearing the news of the Queen's passing late last week, Mr. Sangrula decided to cancel the planned ceremony out of respect for Britain's longest reigning monarch. It's not clear whether there will be a rearranged date for the opening event, although the shop has already been trading since Saturday, September the 3rd.
Sadness as art school to move after 45 years. Residents have reacted with sadness as a long-established art school is looking for a new home after spending more than four decades in the same venue. Winchester Theatre Arts has been teaching children dance and musical theatre in Headbourne Worthy for 45 years. Based at Jubilee Hall, the family-run business started with just 15 students on a Saturday morning. It's now home to 10 times that number, taking in pupils as young as 3 years old and tutoring them all the way through until 19. However, as previously reported, principal of the school, Claire Goodwin, said it has recently had its hours cut by trustees of the facility. Registered with the Charities Commission, the trustees told her they feel the hall should instead be made available for further community use. This, coupled with increasing rent costs, has forced her to consider moving to pastures new. However, the decision has sparked anger among parents and former pupils who claim Ms. Godwin has been treated unfairly. Robina Hatchett, has known Miss Goodwin since she started the group in 1977. Her daughter and granddaughter are both currently students, she said. Thousands of children have passed through the school and now Claire is welcoming third generations of local kids. Claire, Laura and the whole team have worked hard over these years, improving conditions inside and outside the hall. In a statement, the trustees said bookings have been capped at premium times to increase the use of the hall by a wider variety of users and to mitigate the risks to the hall's income through reliance on very few organisations. They also insist rent increases are in line with other local halls, adding that they cannot subsidise commercial operations as a charity. A spokesman said, prior to the new policy, Winchester Theatre Arts used the Jubilee Hall during term time for over 27 hours per week. The new policy would have resulted in them either reducing their bookings by 4¾ hours or moving these hours out of the hall's premium time slots. Instead, Winchester Theatre Arts decided to significantly reduce their bookings to 10¾ hours per week.
Rail enthusiasts chuffed with trip on steam train. I don't know who was responsible for that headline.
That's very good.
However, care home residents from Winchester enjoyed a steaming day out as they rode on a historic railway. Residents from Brendon Care Park Road spent a day on the Watercress line. Staff and residents started the day at Alsford Station and ended their journey at Alton. They enjoyed a picnic on the train and had a tour around various stations, speaking to staff members on board and learning interesting facts from volunteers. Bob, a resident at Brendon Care Park Road, is a train enthusiast and was one of the residents who went on the trip. Model locomotive enthusiast Bob has made 10 model engines in total and was eager to visit the railway line, so the caring staff at Brendon Care Park Road made it happen. Lois Matthews, care assistant, attended the outing and she said, I thought it went really well. It was really nice to get the residents out, especially since they really liked the trains.
Uni helping at Marathon. The University of Winchester returns as the finish line partner of the Winchester Marathon event on Sunday, September the 25th. The Winchester Marathon is set in the heart of the city. With two routes to choose from, runners are directed past landmarks such as the King Alfred statue and St Catherine's Hill. The University of Winchester has been finish line partner of the event since 2018. This year sees the University's Winchester Health Clinic, based at the new Sport and Leisure Park, involved in the partnership. The clinic provides high-quality physiotherapy assessment and treatment to the local community. Undergraduate students on the physiotherapy degree programme work alongside health and care professions council accredited physiotherapy practitioners in the clinic during placements as part of their studies. Chris Rees, event director of the Winchester Marathon, said, "We are delighted that the University of Winchester is returning to the event as our finish line partner, and we thank the university for their ongoing support over the last 3 years of the event. Also, a huge thank you to the Winchester Health Clinic for providing post-race massages to our runners. It will be greatly welcomed."
Another groan headline. Firefighters move in to free trapped cows, with move spelled M-O-O-V-E. Firefighters had to remove an unsuspecting cow's head from a tree after it got stuck. A crew from Hampshire and Isle of Wight Fire and Rescue Service spent more than an hour trying to free the cow, which got its head stuck in a tree in Chilbolton Common on the evening of Wednesday, August the 31st. With the help of an animal rescue advisor, the crew managed to free the bovine by cutting the tree. Hampshire and Isle of Wight Fire and Rescue Animal Rescue Tactics advisor Mark Compton said, "We have specialist crews trained in dealing with animal rescues. The animal rescue crew from Winchester worked to release the cow by enlarging the hole and manipulating the animal's head until it was free from the tree. The service later joked on Twitter that the incident was utterly ridiculous. It added, the crew worked to remove the animal from the willow tree. Well, there's actually a picture here of the...
bovine.
Of the cow, of the stricken cow, with his head, with its head, stuck in the tree. And it looks remarkably sanguine about the whole business.
And now from cows to other animals. Alpacas and pumpkins for a Halloween with a difference. Children and adults can get the chance to meet some exotic South American animals and decorate pumpkins at Alsford Alpacas next month for Halloween. At Oxdrove Way, Upper Weald, on October the 28th and the 29th, families are invited to turn up wearing their Halloween costumes where they can meet and feed 9 friendly alpacas. Kerry May, owner of Alsford Alpacas, originally had 5 alpacas until she rescued 4 more in August from the RSPCA. The alpaca group includes Big Colin, Miguel, Winston, Percy, Hamish, Philip Desmond, Morris and Edwin. Entry to the alpaca meet and greet will cost £12 per person, which includes a pumpkin to decorate and a bag of alpaca feed. Throughout the summer, Kerry has also been holding picnics with the alpacas at Dummer Down Farm, and 2 of the alpacas, Percy and Big Colin, also attend weddings and funerals.
This next article may not be appropriate if you've listened to this recording after Saturday morning, but just in case you open it and listen to it straight away, festival will go ahead this weekend. The Worthies Festival is set to go ahead this Saturday, despite the death of the Queen, writes Freya Stranger. The one-day event will take place at Eversley Park, Kingsworthy, from 1 till 11 p.m. on Saturday the 17th of September. Chief organiser Dan Conroy said, "The Worthies Festival is a community celebration. It embodies all the principles of community involvement and appreciation that our late Queen supported and enjoyed herself, and thus it feels inappropriate to cancel it. We will, of course, now be including elements of remembrance and respect for the Queen, and indeed celebration of our new King Charles III, at appropriate times during the afternoon and evening. The festival is free to attend, and Worthies Sports and Social Club at Eversley Park will be open to non-members on the day. The event includes local jazz and ukulele music, and bands such as Flaxon Hill, the Modcons and the Wanstons. Food and drink will be provided by various local charities and volunteers, including a beer tent from Alfred's Brewery and a barbecue by the 3rd Winchester Scouts." Dan added, "We ask that everybody attends the festival in appreciation of the different circumstances that surround us at this time, in remembrance, but also in celebration and a joyous coming together."
Wonderful display of flowers at garden show. Members of St Cross Garden Society and Stanmore Garden Club recently enjoyed a display of flowers, vegetables, crafts and cookery at the St Cross Garden Club show. Despite the summer droughts, entries were high and the trophies keenly fought for. Entries from Myrtle Cunningham, Stuart Godding and Sheila Price reaped rewards, and the Mann family won the Family Cup. There was a fine display of produce from Oliver's Battery Primary School edible playground. Anne Balfour enjoyed success with her floating flowers, and there was an interesting and amusing display of animals made out of vegetables, including Boris. I'm afraid it doesn't say anything more, and there isn't a photograph, so I can't enlighten you any more about that.
Yeah. Festival crowds show touch of class. Music festival crowds who came in their thousands to a Hampshire farm over the weekend took the time out to show their respect with a tribute to Queen Elizabeth II. Mucky Weekender took over Vicarage Farm in Woodmancote near Winchester for 2 days of music. The festival on Friday, September the 11th and Saturday, September the 12th saw more than 3,000 people party on, but respectfully marking the passing of Queen Elizabeth by observing the minute's silence across all three stages. Following its success, festival curator Barry Ashworth is already looking ahead to next year. When asked if the event was financially feasible, given the rising energy costs, Mr. Ashworth said, "It's hard to say at this stage. Obviously, the rising energy costs are a real concern, but either way, it's not going to stop us from hosting a bigger and better Mucky Weekender in 2023. Meanwhile, organisers were pleased to report that no complaints were made and the farm was left clean."
And now another story from the Watercress line. Harry Potter for half term. A steam railway attraction is bringing a Harry Potter experience to its heritage line this Halloween half term. From October the 24th to the 30th, children are invited to dress up as their favourite scary character, ready for the Watercress line's Halloween activities. Visitors will be able to ride the Wizard Express steam train and walk in Harry Potter's footsteps over the famous railway footbridge where the legendary wizard received his Hogwarts Express ticket in the film. Harry Potter-style coaches will be open to explore at Alsford Station, while visitors will be able to travel on the steam trains and also explore Ropley, Alton and Fourmark stations.
Care Home Hub reopens after COVID shutdown. Members and volunteers from a care home's social club were delighted to see their community centre's doors reopen. Otterbourne Hill Care Home last week finally welcomed back its community hub, which was forced to close during the lockdown restrictions. Before the pandemic, the Brendon Care Home had run more than 15 social and wellbeing clubs from the community base. But being co-located with the nursing home meant that, to keep everyone safe, the facility needed its own entrance before opening its doors again. The facility was declared open by Eastleigh's Deputy Mayor, Councillor Nick Coldry, who cut the ribbon on the new separate entrance. He said, "I'm very glad to be here. It's important we have spaces for the community to meet. COVID has absolutely destroyed all these, so now we're recovering. And we're very glad to see Brendon Care ahead of the game here." Peter Fuller and his wife Betty have been club members for a number of years. Peter said, "It's a social thing for the community. We live just up the road and we've been coming ever since it's been open, before COVID. When we were retired, we had no transport, although we've got a nice bungalow and a big garden. We're a bit trapped. People here can get companionship and make new friends. We come to the coffee mornings, quiz mornings. We meet lots of people. It's very sociable." Volunteer Val Down said, "I'm very pleased to be back. It's just such an asset for the community, getting the community and residents to mix so. I'm very glad to be back inside." The social club held a celebration with tea and cakes, and members enjoyed showing off the facilities and playing games on the interactive table. Vilma Prazio, club manager, said, "Reopening the hub at Otterbourne Hill means we can welcome back the community, and we also look forward to gradually introducing events and raising awareness of the space. We are looking forward to welcoming new faces, forging friendships in the community both at club member and a professional level. We have a variety of clubs planned with laughter and fun on the agenda. We work hard to cut the tie of isolation and simply bring people together. Brendon Care is a registered charity."
Royal Visit is proudly recalled. Winchester College has shared a photo of the Queen's visit to the school in 1955 to commemorate her death. The independent boarding school updated its website with a banner stating, "We pay tribute to Her Majesty on an exceptional life of service. Our deepest sympathy goes out to the royal family on their loss." Sir Richard Stagg, warden of the college, said, "In the past we have celebrated milestones in her reign, but today and in the coming days, pupils, parents and staff will reflect and pay tribute to her exceptional life and her lifelong service to the people of her country and the Commonwealth." The Duke of Edinburgh and the Queen visited the school in 1955 and presented the Queen's medals to three Winchester College prefects. Her Majesty won over the crowd of school pupils when she suggested that 6 days be added to their school holiday. And there's a photograph, of course, a black and white photograph of the Queen presenting a medal to one of the prefects and the master or headmaster or principal or whatever he was called then standing behind and watching.
That seems an appropriate item on which to end this recording. Our thanks to our editors for selecting the extracts from this week, to the copying and dispatch and memory preparation teams, and to our readers today, who were John Richards.
Goodbye.
And Jane Rutter.
Goodbye.
And from me, John Parker, goodbye too. God bless Queen Elizabeth. May she rest in peace. And God save the King.